Have you ever heard a strange noise in the middle of the night?
Hello?
Ever seen something you couldn't quite explain?
What's that?
Ever been visited by a loved one in a dream?
What are you?
Psychic mediums Katie Manning and Michelle Lyons-Polito talk about it all. Welcome to the Psychic on the Scene podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another amazing episode of Psychic on the Scene. And here with you, as always, Katie Manning, myself, psychic medium. And with me, as always, our wonderful friend and producer, Dee Scott.
Hello.
And our other wonderful friend and psychic medium, Michelle Lyons-Polito.
Hey, everyone.
And we have on a long-awaited guest.
Yes.
Thrilled to have this guest on and the subject matter tonight. We have on the famous, infamous Suzanne Amsler from the Capital Region. And Suzanne is a Reiki master practitioner, right? Teacher. But you actually have many other titles to add to that. What else is part of your list?
Well, the other things that I do is I do a 9-month alchemy goddess priestess class. Ooh. I teach numerology, meditation, Ho'oponopono, which we're going to talk about tonight.
Right.
Anyway, there's many things in the bag of tricks.
You definitely have many things in the bag of tricks. And I want to let our listeners know that I met Suzanne back in 2006 when people really were just starting to have some awakening. There might have been some shows on television like John Edward Crossing Over, mm-hmm. and some things like Ghost Hunters had just gotten started, right. on television. And when I met Suzanne, we were both asked to come and teach and speak. And then I was doing readings basically in a closet at this function. So that was my life on the D list back then. And I was splitting my time with speaking to a group of people. And I did the first part talking about psychic ability. And then this woman was coming on to talk about Reiki. And I thought, okay, I don't know what that is. But they said, why don't you sit down and Suzanne can use you as a demonstration. So Suzanne started to do the positions of the hands. And I'm going to tell you guys, not knowing anything about Reiki and Reiki energy, I literally felt like I was going under anesthesia. I kept feeling like every time she placed her hands near the sides of my head, and she's talking, and I kept thinking to myself, oh my God, I'm going to pass out. Like, it was so relaxing, so strong. It was something I didn't realize that I needed. And then I wound up taking courses with Suzanne, and the rest is history. That Suzanne is basically the mother, I would say, or the head of most of the amazing practitioners in the Capital Region.
The matriarch.
The matriarch, right? Up that line to so many others that have gone on this path, this journey. And I applaud you, Suzanne, for being the person that you are and the balance that you have. Tell our listeners, how did you get started?
Okay, how I actually first got started was actually with NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming.
In that class,
I actually first learned some of the Hawaiian stuff. I actually learned Ho'oponopono then, which was 35 years ago.
Oh, wow.
A couple of years after that, I took Reiki. Once my youngest son went off to college, I then took Reiki 1 and 2 and then 3 and became a Reiki teaching master and started teaching probably like 30 years ago. And then from there, I also started taking HUNA from a wonderful lady named Loretta Grabowski, who some of your listeners might know from way back when. Mm-hmm. She has since passed, but she is my teacher, my mentor. She then brought in a gentleman from actually Chicago to teach us something called Hawaiian energetics. So for the past 22 years, I've been also doing Hawaiian energetics, which is Hawaiian spirituality, philosophy, and healing. And in also in that, I always did many other things. Like I did a Kali Chakra, I studied Buddhism, Zen, you know, all that stuff. But Hawaiian was always where I felt at home. So
wow.
I've been teaching different Hawaiian things. And even when I teach meditation or I do numerology or the 9-month alchemy class, you know, it's always incorporated in there.
Right. Yeah, you definitely integrate the different learnings. I know in the past that I've spoken or seen you speak that you kind of bring in a lot of different modalities for people to really find something that sparks them.
So that's my story. But the Hawaiian, as soon as I found the Hawaiian back 35 years ago, I knew I was home.
Now, are you Hawaiian?
I am not Hawaiian, no.
In this lifetime.
Right. And I have been to Hawaii probably 12, 13 times. Some of our classes for the Hawaiian energetics are held there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because the elements are so strong there. Fire, water, earth, air, which is part of what Hawaiian energetics is. And I also do that in my sessions when I do sessions. It's a Hawaiian Reiki session.
Oh, wow. I didn't know there was Hawaiian Reiki.
Well, yep. It's Hawaiian Reiki. I do some Hawaiian energetics.
Okay.
And then I go what we call pow to that. And then I would do the rest in Reiki. But the Hawaiian energetics is much more specific to be able to really give a treatment. I've worked with people with tumors and MS and many other things because it can just be much more specific.
Have you, this is kind of out of left field, but have you been back to Hawaii since the fires?
Well, we were in Hawaii last February. Mm-hmm. But we did not go to Maui, but I have a very good friend that lives on Maui. So I do get updates. And actually, one of our Ohana from our energetics class just recently sent me something on, Lahaina, what they're doing to bring it back, but I haven't had a chance to read it. I spend most of my time on the Big Island and Molokai.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And I know you came originally, your background, you worked in banking.
Well, I was what they called the deferred comp lady. Worked with state workers, cities and towns and counties, administering like a 401k, but to state.
Right.
So I did that for like 16 years, and then we lost the contract and lost our job. And then I did some financial planning and then some AFLAC for a while. And then I just went totally into doing all of this wonderful stuff.
Definitely your calling. Absolutely your calling, meant to be in this. So when you are working with students and speaking, And obviously you couldn't do this and be as effective and longstanding as you have been if you didn't have the passion and the dedication that you have, the actual magic of it. What is the thing that you find most interesting with students or with people when you're working with them, that kind of like aha that you see that happens?
I guess the biggest aha is, again, I do numerology, so knowing what my own numerology is I see things that other people do not see.
Right.
Of why people do what they do. So in being able to see that and working with them, helping them to get beyond that, which is what Reiki does, which is what my 9-month alchemy class does, which is what Ho'oponopono does, and numerology. So I think that may have answered your question.
Yes. No, that answers a question. if not that question. So I want to ask now about the energy that we have been in, and we're in a 9-year, my numerology friend, of release and letting go. I find with my clients, and I'm sure Michelle would say as well, that people's hardest challenge is basically that piece of forgiveness, that piece of really taking things out that are personal. And I know I've done it myself, but being able to look at something objectively and realizing that it's a life path and kind of making peace with it so they can move on. So they're not basically living in rewind. And I have felt so much that component that you teach, that Ho'oponopono, is so important, especially now, especially moving forward with energy. Speak, a little bit about what that is and how we can use that and how we can learn that.
But you're right. It's more sort of in what I would say people's faces right now, like you keep and coming up and coming up in many different ways.
Right.
Because it needs to be let go of.
It but just don't you feel like there's something, like even today, just before I got on, I've got a lot of unhinged messages. And had, Jamie was on last week, and Jamie and I were talking about it on Sunday, that the last couple of weeks, people being unhinged. And I really feel like it's because people in the past have been able to hide behind certain chaoses within their own life and externally. And whatever this is with this like human deadline right now, and it's not like something scary, but it's almost like get your shit together.
Yeah.
Get your shit together. Maybe it's Lent. Maybe it has to do with, you know, the year kind of going over and we're in a nine, but it just seems like you could be saying the most mundane thing like, no, just fix your shit. And they don't want to hear it.
Yeah. It's a battle.
Well, there has been a lot of astrological stuff happening, especially in the last couple of weeks. There was the eclipse and also the moon.
Huge.
And every planet's in line. For a while there, seven planets were in line.
Yeah.
And Neptune's doing something it hasn't done for like 475 years or whatever. So there's a lot happening. The other thing that's happening is sort of the universe, or what do you believe in, is asking us to release and to let go and to clear up stuff. And also we're dealing a lot with lineage and genealogy right now, as well as past life and so on and so forth. The good news is that if this stuff is coming up, which people don't like to hear this, you now have the ability to be able to let it go.
Right.
Yes.
It's an opportunity.
Now, as far as the forgiveness thing, the challenge is with trying to forgive is people don't get closure.
Right?
And that's where Ho'oponopono comes in, because the way I teach Ho'oponopono is I do a number of different techniques. And what Ho'oponopono means is to make rightly right. Mm-hmm. And what that sort of means is to whatever is happening, whatever your experience is, whatever did happen, is to make it back into, let's say, light and love. But what you really want is you want the energy to be flat.
Yes.
So that the buttons are not pushed.
Oh, I love that.
Wow, Suzanne, that's incredible. Yes.
So what you need to do is get to the root cause, so to speak. One of the things I explain to people is like it's a Pandora box. And especially like with anger. And you experience anger and you don't get closure, because most of us do not get closure. Mm-hmm. So we put it in our Pandora box. And then anger happens again. We don't get closure and it's in the Pandora box. And again, and again, and again. And then one day something happens and you explode. Mm-hmm. Incongruently. And you're like, why? Why did I do that? That's because you went to put one of those little pearls back in your Pandora box and the whole thing just came out. So what Ho'oponopono does is allow you to get to maybe the root cause, or at least lots of times we're hoping to get to one that's really very important and get to be able to make that flat. And then lots of times the rest of the pearls will just go poof, 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 poof.
Oh, wow.
So the next time you feel anger, you respond appropriately, because there's nothing wrong sometimes with anger.
Right.
It's appropriate. But it's when all the stuff comes up at once. So some of the Ho'oponopono techniques allow you to get to closure without having to deal with the person or situation.
Oh, that's because, so constructive. I like
if
that.
Something happened with a person and you never got closure, if you went to talk to them or to try to deal with it, tell them.
Or maybe I'm not saying this to be flipped, maybe they're dead.
Yeah.
Exactly. That works too. That totally works too. But you can go round and round the mulberry bush.
Right.
Nowhere, because they're going to defend themselves. So we have a writing technique and a theater technique that allows us to get to the cause and also allows you to say whatever it is you need to say. And when you do like the writing one, you'd be surprised. It just starts writing. I always say to people when I'm teaching this, hang in there with me till the end. So you get to do one of these things. And
right.
Sort of come together. And then with the same thing with the theater technique, because you're getting to say whatever you need to say. But there's also other parts of what I always say with the Ho'oponopono, where you get to put things in the basket. Because we do something, you asked about the forgiveness thing. And that's part of it. And what you're doing is you're not letting the person or situation off the hook. Because forgiveness is for you.
Right.
You.
So important.
So but the other part of forgiveness is sometimes you don't know why people do what they do. Oh. And part of it is if you say forgiveness, please forgive me and I forgive you, mm-hmm. you're dealing with the unknown because you don't know what they thought you did do, what they thought you said or you should have said, or all of those unknown components, or if you do believe in past life or lineage, it can also be that. So it helps to clear all those things. We also do something called cutting the ACA cord, which the ACA cord is, you know, that connection where you pick up the phone and you're going to call somebody and they're calling
they
you,
call you. Yep.
Or you're going, I got to call Mary because something's not right with Mary. It's that connection. Well, that's wonderful if it works. But if that connection isn't great, when you're doing these processes, you also can either cut the cord and not have one, but then you're still going to have an emotional connection with that person, but not back and forth. Or you can create a new ACA cord for a new connection with them. And I always suggest with people, if you're leaving a job, create a new cord. Your children go to college, create a new cord. Your children get married, create a new cord. Because it's a totally different relationship. So those are some of the things that you put sort of in this basket when you do some Ho'oponopono.
Wow, that I like that idea of creating a new cord. That's the first time I've ever heard that. And it makes so much more sense in the essence.
Something that doesn't exist anymore.
Right, because you're reframing it.
And I have a story.
Oh, yes. Good.
Okay, so when I first learned this, it was actually with somebody named Tad James came in from Hawaii and was teaching something called Create Your Future Now. But one of the days was Ho'oponopono. So I assisted. Now, whenever I'm going to do Ho'oponopono, even back then, I was saying, well, what do I want to work on? So what I was saying to my unconscious and myself was, oh, this relationship that I had, let's say, with John. It was a fine relationship, but I could still feel the connection that didn't need to be there. So we're up in Saratoga. He, at that point, lived in Binghamton. So I did the process, went lovely, you know, cut the cord, sent him on his merry little way with light and love, yada, yada, yada. Said everything I needed to say. The thing ends, and I come out of the room, and there in the telephone booth was John.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. So I go over to, you know, and I'm talking to John, we're chatting away and, you know, and everything. And he keeps trying to reconnect that cord. So with my imagination, I keep cutting the cord.
Oh, geez.
That's so wild.
So he can feel it. So he say goodbye. And then I make sure there's no cord anywhere connected. And he goes merrily on this way. And then about 6 months or so later, my friend was chatting with him. He goes, oh, you know, I finally feel like I'm over that relationship and I can kind of move on. And about a year and a half later, he got married.
Oh, wonderful.
Because our unconsciouses are connected, or our high self are connected. So when you're right. These techniques, you're working with the unconscious and the conscious. I mean, the higher self.
I remember having, not exactly, I was just at work or God knows doing what, but there was someone I was trying to break it off with. And there was a lot of connection, a lot of attraction, but I had come to the conclusion that it wasn't working. And whenever I would say in my head, not even out loud or to anyone, I'm done, I'm cutting the cord, within 5 minutes, he would call. And this went on for about 3 months until I had to physically go and have a conversation and end it. But it was a sticky wicket. It was hard to get to disconnect.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
That's a lesson too, that would keep saying to you, like, you're doing it, but you're not doing it quite right. Let's show you that you got to dress this again. Not quite right.
your sickle or your
right. You're doing it, but it's not 100%. So I think that's really amazing and just so eye-opening. The other part of this, which is all of this, is you're really taking control of that narrative for yourself. You're really changing, like what you're saying about that new connection. You wind up being the person that's no longer a victim to it, which I'm not crazy about that word anyways, but that you wind up having the control taken back. Like you can look at it and view these things that happen and some are horrible and say to yourself, that's part of my contract here, which a lot of people don't understand that they may have signed up for certain people and certain things, as shitty as it is. And then what are you supposed to be learning about that while you're here? I always think to myself, every time something like this happens and I get a little stunned, I think to myself, I'm going to be able to help my kids with this. If this ever comes up, I'm going to be able to help my grandchildren.
Yeah.
When this stuff comes up again, you know, that I can be the teacher or I'm the person that says, hey, I can give you a shortcut. Not saying that I can control their destiny or path, but at least I can say I've got some, you know, inside information that is connected to this because I've been through it.
I love that.
Yeah. Whether it has to do with health or mental.
Yeah. And it works a lot with lineage and genealogy as well, or also something that you could say would be like parts.
Right.
Like if you had said to yourself, there's a part of me that wants to, but there's a part of me that doesn't. It's not a different personality. It's just sort of the part that's protecting you, but you could also clear that as well as people that are on the other side that you didn't get to make peace with or whatever. Because you get to say whatever it is that you need to say, which is one of the most important parts, without going around and around the merry-go-round.
I feel silly because I've only ever used the Ho'oponopono. I mean, I do, I'm a ghost rescuer. I do a lot of clearing work for stuck spirits. And I used Ho'oponopono a lot early on. And that's all I ever used it for. And quite honestly, I think you handed out that prayer in that class I took with you ages ago. And I ended up just use that prayer for that. But now I'm like, I'm going to pull that out. I'm going to use it for all sorts of things. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, really very, very interesting. Can you go through the different parts of the prayer a little bit too, Suzanne, for our listeners so they understand? I mean, I know when I first met you and this, you handed out the sheet and you were talking about this Ho'oponopono. I couldn't even read the word. So I used to, and Suzanne probably remembers, I used to go Ho'oponopono. just because I thought it was such a great word. But tell our listeners a little bit about what exactly is in the verbiage in that.
Well, I presume you must be talking about, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you.
Yes.
Okay, so another part of Ho'oponopono, and the people that I've studied with actually studied directly under the kahuna, who was the kahuna of Ho'oponopono, Moner Simono, which kahuna just means the master of something. So this Dr. Hen Lu worked directly under the kahuna and created this, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, which actually he had amazing results doing it in a hospital in Hawaii. And the important point of that was that he did not work directly with the person that was in this psych center. He went within himself to see how he related to that person. Mm-hmm. And then started working, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you.
Wow.
So using those four words, and what you can do when you're doing many other things, is basically what you're wanting to do. And there are some really good, I haven't looked lately, some YouTubes with Dr. Han Lu teaching how to use those words. One of which is really working with the inner child. The inner child being like your unconscious. Mm-hmm. And also when I teach Ho'oponopono, I try to help people and they really need to understand what your conscious mind is, what your subconscious or unconscious is, and what your high self is. Your unconscious mind is like the basement of a house with no windows. What I mean by that is it only knows what you tell it. Now, it has all of your memories, all of your limiting beliefs, all of those types of things, as well as whatever happened to you forever. And also has access to your high self, which you could kind of think of as the mainframe computer.
Ooh.
Or your Akashic records.
Mm-hmm.
everything that ever happened to you. So using those four words, what you really want to do is work a lot with your unconscious mind of it's kind of like an inner child of really working with, like you were saying, you work sometimes with clearing houses with those that are still there, but it's really saying, I love you. I just really, really love you. I do that when I'm doing Hawaiian session. I mean, a Reiki session lots of times. I love you. I love you so much. And I'm so, so sorry for all the things that you've had to go through, all the things that you've endured. And thank you for the person that you are. Thank you for all the things that you're doing. Thank you for being so brave. And please just forgive and let go, or just let go and allow. Just let it go. Mm-hmm. So you're really getting the emotion in there. That's the important component, is really using those four words with emotion to really get almost to, like, say, again, back to sort of the root cause of what's really going on there, you know? And if you do this on a daily basis, when something comes up, I mean, you could even be driving in the car and you get somebody cuts you off and you get so angry and you're like, wow.
Why I need that.
Why did I do that? And you can just go, oh, I'm so sorry. And I love you so much. And I'm sorry, you had to deal with this. And I know you're upset. And please just let it go. And thank you, whatever. But you can do it on a regular basis. And if you do that, then you don't end up with all these little Pandora boxes. Does that sort of help explain how
to? Oh, 100%.
Yes.
100%. Because, again, I think that people... I don't know what energetically it's doing, but it's reminding them of old hurts. And maybe it's because, in past I've, Alex Bradley has been wonderful enough to Michelle and I, we will message him and say, what in the heck is going on right now? What is happening and why is it? And he'll go, hang on. And then he'll come back and I'll say to him, one conversation we had one time was, I said, okay, I have people showing up, clients and people that I was connected to that I haven't spoken to since 2015, and they're not showing up. And he said to Michelle, and I was like, hang on a second, and got off and came back on. And he said, all of the planets right now are in alignment that they were in 2015. So that is why there's probably unfinished business, or it's just kind of like cycling through whatever, but it was like rapid fire. It seemed like not only an email, like one right after another, of running into people and things like that. And then so then you go through, in my case, assessing, like, yeah, you can walk away and go, huh, that's kind of curious. And then you go, all right, what did I not finish? What am I working on that I've got to take a bigger look at? Or bigger than that, even for myself, is when something has struck me wrong, this whole past year, I've been kind of examining that. Something has hurt my feelings or struck me wrong. The first thing I say to myself is, would I do that to another human being?
Ooh.
And if I can honestly say, oh yeah, you would maybe say that in jest, or maybe you would do something like that, or it was maybe a mistake or whatever. Have I done something like that? If I can say yes, and I go, okay, I give it a pass. But if I can honestly say that with my heart and my soul, I would never make another human being feel a certain way, then I, without anger, I will absolutely reject that. And I will say, that's not funny, or I don't think that's humorous, or I don't like the way that makes me feel. And I got to tell you, the look of dumbfoundedness on the other person, and typically they don't apologize, but they just kind of like, they just kind of look flabbergasted, because probably nobody's ever said anything, but I'm trying to make sure that I'm doing these things, that I'm not carrying it. I'm not doing it in an angry way.
Right.
Just that, saying you feel.
Right. I'm stating my boundary or my peace with it. And then I leave it with them. It's no longer mine.
I love that, Katie.
Right.
So
that's
a huge year of this. I was not wired like that before, but a huge year of this. Thank you, Helene Verdial. a lot of that looking inward. So it's just kind of curious that this piece, and I've worked with it in other classes, is really such a strong element of being able to look at yourself inward and take away that energy from the other person. Mm-hmm. And kind of like, just what right. You said, I like the idea of like reconnecting and basically reframing it, but using that element of Ho'oponopono, it's really, I think, very important.
And what's happening now, like Alex said, is with all the planets aligned and where we're going right now,
yes,
stuff needs to be let go of and cleared up. And they might be getting stuff in dreams, or they're just remembering little bits and pieces of all sorts of things that happened before. And also there's a lot of, like I said, too, lineage and genealogy that's coming
that's
up.
Been a, that, that when you said that, boy, all last year was all about the karmic ties, the hereditary ties, and really healing those lineages for, so you would be the person, and I say you meaning our listeners, you are the person that is recognizing, hey, you know, we've done this as a hereditary thing over and over again, whether it's the alcoholism or whatever, maybe, mm-hmm. maybe always having the dad that wasn't there or the mom that was, you know, whatever within the family, but that it's stopping with you, like you're recognizing it. And you're the person that says, okay, we're not doing that anymore. And it's and healing the back of it, the back end of that, the history of it. So that's been a big one. And the other thing you just mentioned, the dreams. Oh my God. Not only myself, every single night that going to the movies, my mother, who's 88 years old, will tell me, she'll call me up in the morning and say, oh my God, I was visiting with this one and I saw this and like all over the place. But my clients as well, you must be seeing that too, Suzanne, with your clients.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
So many questions. What does this dream mean?
Yeah. And the other thing is, you know, where we're going where we're going to be functioning mostly from heart and mostly from the heart, but it'll be the heart and mind connecting as one. So a lot of this stuff needs to be cleared up and the karma thing. Mm. So there will eventually, you won't be having to deal with karma, but the challenge is if you don't get to experience whatever it is you need to be, do, have, understand, and learn, then you might not have gotten it. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like showing you these different things now where you can, and it can be easy now. It can be easy. It doesn't have to be hard. We sometimes make it hard, but it doesn't
have to be
to let all this stuff go.
Yeah, but even in the component, it's almost as if too, or what I'm seeing is even old grief is being recalled by newer grief. And yeah. that like it's obviously it's like chain links, but it's bringing all of that stuff back up. So a lot of grief right now that yeah. it seems to be more and more. It kind of goes in an ebb and flow with that too, where it's very yeah. quiet for a while. And then all of a sudden it just seems like that's all there is.
Right.
Connected with people.
Different things too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I know that you have two sons, correct, Suzanne?
Correct.
And how many grandkids now?
Five.
Oh my God. Congratulations. So do your sons or do any of your grandkids have your healing ability, your ability?
Well, I think my oldest granddaughter here definitely does. I mean, actually, when she was about 3 and a half, I was at my son's house and a friend came over to get Reiki. And she always called him Joey. She was the only person that called him Joey. So I said to her, Chloe, I said, I'm going to give Joey some Reiki. And you can sit and watch, but you got to be quiet. So for the entire hour, this 3 and a half year old sat there
wow.
and just watched what I was doing. Once oh she'd get up and get a little toy and come back and sit down and she'd go, shh, shh, shh. But she just sat there and watched. So she definitely is. And my oldest granddaughter in Florida has had 4 years of horrible, 4 and a half years of horrible health issues, which there's a huge lineage genealogy thing there, which I've been working at. And one of the things I said to her once, when it was really bad, she was on a feeding tube and everything. I said, you know, I hear people's stories all the time because I teach the 9-month alchemy class and with numerology and all that stuff. I hear people's stories. And most of the people that are doing miraculous things now have amazing stories. They were a kid or a teenager or a young adult. So you're going to be awesome. You're going to be fine. You're going to be awesome. So she's very creative and going to do something. But yeah, Chloe here would be the healer.
That's awesome. I love that.
I have you as a grandmother to help them through this.
Right.
Guide them through.
Guide them through it. With this as well, are you... Do you feel yourself expanding into other learnings or other things? Are there things that are pulling to you now that you want to learn more about, Suzanne, to help other people?
Well, I'm always learning, and
I know.
We have a, you know, it's like a psychic circle that we do once a week, but more now where I'm at is where the planet's going, with, you know, we're all going and moving into, you know, what they call a five dimensional and more heart energy. And, in really understanding that and what that is, and helping people to not be in panic mode at the moment.
Oh, amen.
That we're going to all be fine. It just is a little bit crazy now. So I listen to a lot of, well, actually, I've been working with Saint Germain for many, many, many years. And he's been front and center definitely for the past 4 or 5 years, because we've had some people come in and do what you would call seances. And he comes through with that a lot. So in answer to your question, yeah, I'm always, my main focus now is really kind of like, where we're going and how to help people to get to where they're meant to be, which is a lot of what I also do in my 9-month alchemy class, which is about turning lead into gold, but it's turning them into gold.
Right. Oh, I love that. Well, I can remember going back, back probably 2011, and talking with Julie Purdy, and Julie talking about there was going to be kind of a division in the haves and the have-nots. And at the time, it seemed more like it was the economy that we were discussing. 2008 had already happened, obviously. And, right. But it seemed more like that. But really what she was saying, and what basically other people were saying, is had a lot more to do with people being awakened and people not being awakened.
Right.
And kind of going through that ascension. And for our listeners, I don't mean woke, I mean awakened. Yes. And in saying that, it seemed as if, especially people that were already doing this work, we went through a lot of like dismantling, or not, I don't want to say dark night of the soul, but it was really a lot heavier just before pandemic, then going through the pandemic of kind, but the whole time knowing, I think all of us kind of said, this is going to be okay. We're going to be okay. But then other people that were not in that alignment were really in panic mode. And then coming out of it, we kind of felt like, see, you know, like everything is settling where it's supposed to settle. And I think just what you said, we went from that 3D existence, Suzanne, to the 5D existence. And the very thing of saying, oh, I got to call Suzanne, and I look down and I've got a message from you on the phone, or vice versa. Or I run into you like at the gas station. That seems to be in like real time. That's happening so fast that it's actually startling to people that have been doing this work for years. Like, holy crap.
It's instant manifestation.
Yeah.
And you can even walk in and out of 3D and 5D in this, at this point in time, because there's kind of like going to be more than, you know, different dimensions on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have asked, well, if that's true, like the people that maybe, you know, haven't been doing some of the stuff that we're doing, or sort of believe, you know, and moving on to sort of the fifth dimensional energy. You know, what about our family and our friends? Are we going to be leaving them behind? No, you're not going to be leaving them behind. You're still going to be associating with them. It's just the energy that we participate in will be more of a 5D nature and not get pulled back into the third dimensional drama, circus, story, yada, 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 yada.
Yeah, and you can feel that tug and pull. Yeah.
Well, here's another thought, too, that I've been seeing, is kind of ties in with that generational, like breaking those generational ties or curses or whatever you want to call them. And in the past, in the family, we were the weirdos.
Right. The oddballs.
Right. We were the ones that they'd go, you know, don't sit next to Aunt Katie because she talks crazy and she sees dead people. Now people are like, I told them to call you. They said they had a dream, or they saw something in the house. And it's like, it's so like you're the middle of the room. It seems as if positioned in almost every family is the person. And it has been there, or they've been brought down every line. So they're the ones that are supposed to evolve and learn and kind of help the rest of the family. And it doesn't mean that it's an exclusion of religion or anything, but it seems as if that person, almost every family I can look at, like now the family is listening more or embracing that more than they ever did. And it doesn't matter with culturally or where they came from, but it seems to be more and more where that was not the case back when we first all started, when I first met you, Suzanne.
We were the weird girls. And they would ask you, but kind of in a halting, kind of afraid of you kind of way. And now it's conversational. Hey, I experienced this. What do you think? Just the way that they address you is a whole different.
Whole different, you know, yeah.
Feel.
I went to my 50th class reunion back in September.
Oh.
Well, and I left in 10th grade because I was pregnant. So I really had, I'd seen them maybe at the 10th reunion. I invited myself, but they invited me to this one. But it was very interesting of their perspective of me.
Yeah.
Back then was not what I would have thought their perspective of me was.
Isn't that wild when you.
It was wild. It was very healing, but it was wild, very wild. And sitting there watching a lot of it, it was interesting, very interesting. But that seems to be coming up too, for actually has for me. A lot of people from the past are like appearing.
Yes. And so Suzanne, swear to God, I'm thinking about it as you're talking. I have been in things where I go to a show and I'm doing the meet and greet at the show. And this actually happened. There's a whole row of what I would have maybe called the mean girls.
Yes. That's been happening to me.
Your attention, yeah.
Yep.
And I'm kind of like, oh, hello. And they're like, oh, we're so excited, and so it heals that girl in me.
Mm-hmm.
The inner child goes, okay, I got picked for dodgeball. Like, you know what
I mean? God, I wasn't picked last for gym this time.
But it's the exactly what you're saying, like you going back for the reunion. That is such an interesting perspective, because that does seem to be happening more and more.
Yeah.
We just had our 40th and the same darn thing happened to me. It was like, wow, this is wild.
Yes.
Silly little things that happened with, you know, a friend or something. Suddenly they're like appearing in a different way, and it just like automatically heals. You don't have to do anything.
It's like shedding a skin that you didn't even know you had or that you really didn't need.
Yeah.
I haven't even had a chance to talk with Michelle about this, but I recently not only had, I have a good relationship, I would say positive relationship with my ex-husband, even more so now. In this past year, we message each other and share like recipes and things like that, and kid around about inside jokes and stuff. And I never, at the time of the divorce, I never would have thought that in a million years. And this past like year, 2 years, and another ex has come back, and not like to get together, but basically to say, can we call a truce?
Wow.
And it was absolutely like my heart, my soul needed that. And I was like, absolutely.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it is wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, basically like you go about your business, I go about mine, but can we just not do anything negative out in the community or out in the energy about each other? And I was like, deal.
It's like removing that black cloud from your life. Like
holy. Yeah, totally. Michelle. Totally.
And easily.
Yes.
Just some simple words can untie a knot that you thought could never be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. 1,000%. So it's energetically the way it is right now. And some of it's just like ease, like really effortless, like not things like I'm having to sit down, meditate and like work out. I feel like a lot of this work we were already doing, like I said, like probably 2019, we really were like diving in, and all of that foundationally until 2023, 2024. 2024, I thought was going to be an easy peasy lemon squeezy year.
Yes,
my God.
Yeah, no.
No.
I was listening to a podcast that we did back then, and we were saying, oh, we're in the downhill slide. Oh my God, what were we thinking?
It's because they kept saying that the other that was releasing, they didn't say, oh, it's releasing, but the rest of this year is going to be a shitstorm.
It's a pothole of a year.
Yeah, it's a pothole, right. And now you can breathe. Now, but everybody has emotional PTSD as a result of it.
Yeah. And this year it's moving like the speed of light.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, a blink.
But there's another weird thing. Sometimes for me, it's like, I don't want to say stagnant, but it's like, okay, it's only 2 o'clock. And then other days it's like at the speed of light. I feel like
today was one of those days, a speed of light.
Lost time day.
I feel like, but I also, Mercury is going direct today.
Phew.
Thank God. Yes. Right. The longest Mercury retrograde in existence, but it seemed like from the time I woke up, like things were on fast forward.
Yeah, absolutely today. Cause I kept looking at the clock saying, wait, what? Where did that time period go?
Yep. For you, what classes and what things do you have coming up, Suzanne, for our listener? And do you have a website that they can go to?
Well, during COVID, I just sort of took down the website, and then I was just kind of like reevaluating what I was doing. Mm-hmm. So mostly I just do my own thing. As far as classes coming up, the winter was the winter, so I didn't teach anything. So I do have Ho'oponopono classes coming up.
Well, good.
I do like a 2-night and, you know, like I'm doing Tuesdays at the end of the month, and it's like from 6 to 9. And then I also do a Saturday, and I'm also contemplating and probably will do a Zoom class. And as far as I'm always teaching Reiki classes on and off. And then I will probably start my 9-month alchemy class in June or July or somewhere around there.
Do you want people to email? Should they email you directly to find those out?
Email me, and I would be happy to send them off the information.
Okay. And what is it? And just say what your email is.
It's Reiki Sue, R-E-I-K-I, Sue, 2001 at Yahoo.
Oh.
Excellent. Right. You're one of the only people that still has a Yahoo account.
You know why? Because I like the way it's set up. That's why I don't like.
No, it's good. I still have. If anybody's listening in the Capital Region, I still have a NICAP account.
Yeah. Oh my
goodness. That's one of those, and that doesn't even exist. Roadrunner.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I like the way it's set up. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, and then you know, if they send me information, and then if they want to ask more questions about it, I'll give them my phone number. Right. Yeah.
Then also too. I know you'll be traveling this year. Where do you see yourself like traveling throughout this year going into 2026 or things that you'll be doing?
Well, rumor has it there may be a Hawaiian class in Hawaii in the fall.
Mm.
In which case, then I'll go there. And if not, I'll be going to Hawaii sometime in the near future. And then I'm supposed to be going to a trip with Colette doing the Christmas markets at the end of November, December. On my list is Spain and Portugal, and particularly the the Azores. They have the Hawaiian energy.
And right.
I would like to do New Zealand. And
me too.
And at the moment, I'd like to move to New Zealand for a while.
Yeah, New Zealand is a place I'm drawn to as well.
Called to New Zealand, not Australia for some reason, but definitely New Zealand.
Yep. I can remember years ago, Suzanne, you said that you also did some classes or you were doing trainings in Cape Cod.
Yeah, that's not true. It has not happened, but I have never taught the Hawaiian energetics. Okay. Only because I have so many other things to teach, but I am going, and I have people that actually really want me to teach Hawaiian energetics. And part of it was because how I want to teach it is to do it at the Cape. Because Hawaiian energetics, and that's why we go to Hawaii, is because the elements are so alive there. Because we do earth therapy, water therapy, fire with Pele, and water. So what I'm proposing and working on doing is teaching at the Cape so that we can go down to Race Point and really experience air, do the water and the fire and the earth. So
sounds incredible.
Otherwise, I have not taught at the Cape, but that class will probably happen.
Awesome.
So.
I'd also like to tell our listeners another story about you and your gift. Years ago, my mother had a health crisis. And Suzanne, when my mother had gotten out of the hospital, my mom blessedly wound up being okay, but she had had a lot of internal bleeding that had gone unchecked for quite some time. So she was very anemic and her iron levels were very low. And Suzanne offered to come to the house and do Reiki on my mom. And my mom was really scared prior to the appointment, not because of Suzanne, but because they were asking my mother to take more iron and my mom wasn't really taking it very well. And say this was going to be on a Friday that she was having the session with Suzanne. And Monday she was going to have her blood work checked and they were going to probably have to admit her back into the hospital to get everything under check. And so I tell mom, I said, well, a friend of mine is coming over and she's going to do some Reiki work on you. So explaining to my mom what Reiki was and what you were going to do was an education in itself, but she was okay. She was like, okay. So Suzanne came, I was not there. And say the appointment was at 1 o'clock. So it's hitting 2 o'clock. I said to my mother, call me afterwards, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Nothing. Finally, I call my mom and I go, Mom, you didn't call? And she goes, oh, Katie, it was amazing. It was so wonderful. I could feel it all through my body when she did the work on me. And she just loved it. And she slept great that night. And Monday morning came and my mother was so excited to call me and tell me that her numbers were all completely normal. She did not have to continue taking the iron. She did not have to go in for a treatment. She did not have to be hospitalized. And we as a family, she and I especially, attribute it to your session with her. And this was a person that had never even heard of the word Reiki before. Suzanne came and she absolutely loved it. She kept saying she had her hands on my feet and I could feel it all the way to the top of my head. I felt like hands were on the top of my head.
So wonderful.
Well, tell your mom I said hi.
I will tell my mom. Oh, my mother will freak out when I say to her, like, because you're kind of like a rock star to my mom. So if I say to my mom, oh, Mom, we had Suzanne on the, oh, my God, did you tell her I said hi? That'll be my mother, because she gets all excited if I mention you. And then she tells everybody the story again. So it really was a really profound, I mean, I know you're amazing, but to have that right in our family, and it was in real time, the proof of what you could do and how it helped. I really wanted it for her because I wanted her to calm down and have some ease. And it really switched a lot. It helped with that as well, but it did a lot of other things too. So I appreciate you and I appreciate your gift and I appreciate you as a teacher and think so much of you. And it was so nice to reconnect with you.
I was so happy to see you. It's been too long.
I know, way too long. So wonderful seeing you over at Sage's Circle, hanging around with I walked out and there was all these people I knew. I was like, oh my gosh.
That's great.
Yeah, the waiting room at heaven. So, well, thank you again so much for being here and being with us.
It was great seeing you again. Oh my goodness.
It was great seeing you too, Michelle. Awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you, Michelle. And thank you, D. Scott. And thank you to all of our listeners for your suggestions and your shares and your likes. And our producer says, please rate us, but only rate us if you're going to give us a 5-star. And please keep those suggestions and ideas coming to us. We love them and been going through. And also, you're still sending in some of your scary stories. We're going to do a spooky story episode. So that's coming up soon. So yes. Thank you, everybody, and everybody stay blessed.
Okay, great. Thank you.